Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
At IKEA, your dream home is a blue bag away. No matter the size of your space or budget, we've got everything you need to turn your dreams into reality. And now with new lower prices on hundreds of our most popular products, bringing the dream home is even easier. Like the gray Strandom wing chair, was $369, now $299. And the IKEA Plus 365 9-piece cookware set was $129.99, now $89.99. And hundreds more. Shop new lower prices at IKEA-USA.com today.
Welcome to Random Movie Generator with myself, David L, and with the main man, David Jackie Edwards.
Abso-bloody-lutely, it's a pleasure to be here, sir.
Are you feeling scintillated cinematically?
I am feeling cinematically scintillated like a rare steak on a barbecue. Hot on both sides and tender in the middle.
I had a steak on a barbecue this week.
Really? God, you're living it up, aren't you? That's proper neighbor.
Is it?
I think steak on a barbecue, that's proper Ramsey Street neighbour's appetite.
I've only had three or four in my whole life. I quite liked it.
Does it take a while to cook a steak on a barbecue?
I didn't cook it.
Oh, right. Was it the lady in the house cooking the steak, or were you with a friend? Oh, lovely.
With her friend? Did you say with a friend?
I said all with a friend.
Oh, right.
No, sorry. That's quite bizarre, wasn't it? Who's the friend? Three's a crowd, Dave. Three's a crowd. Roger Moore, I can imagine wandering out into the patio with your silk dressing gown. Is my steak ready, please? Holding your silver fork in the air, getting ready to munch down.
Well, today, David, is a special random movie generator.
It's quite a filmic landmark, isn't it? It's a filmic landmark.
I don't think we'll find a bigger landmark. Well, I think in 5 years' time, when you look back at this podcast and you look at the episodes, you'll go, this is the one. This is
absolutely
the one. And why is this the one, though? Could you, for anyone new to the pod, why is this the episode?
This is a big, fat nostalgia pill in the form of a fifth and final. It's got to be a final one.
That's
now.
That's what I mean. It's the final.
I mean, there's no way Mr. Four could do another one. Do you know what I mean? It's as simple as that. Indiana Jones.
Could you say that again? And then can we just have a bit of silence after that sentence?
The fifth and scientifically, you know, end film to the Indiana Jones franchise. Simple as that. It's come to an end. This is a full
stop.
Can
we have the silence after the sentence? Just so it really lands.
So say it again or just be silent? Oh, no, got to get it right.
Say it again. Here we go. It just felt quite... It felt like a big moment that when you said that.
Let's get some poignancy going in the room.
Yeah, yeah.
This is the fifth and final Indiana Jones film.
Because
Indiana Harrison Ford is now 80 years old, and as much as Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, would like another Indiana Jones film, you know, physically God has only given us so much time on this earth. And also he signed a Marvel contract now, so he's pretty much sucked into doing Marvel movies. Harrison Ford, he's going to be playing
Why
a Marvel
would you sign
character.
A Marvel contract at 80?
Well, I guess if they're putting it under your nose, you know, you've got to put ink on it.
Why not? Okay.
I mean, okay.
Anyway,
also
let's
got,
not focus on this.
He's got two TV shows as well, isn't he? He's got Shrinking, Brett Goldstein's TV show, and he's got the other one, part of the Sheridan Yellowstone universe prequel, the cowboy TV show that's really popular. So he's more busy than he's ever been. It's quite incredible,
but really. This is the final ever Indiana Jones movie. This is the movie, possibly in your top three movies of all time. You've got a T-shirt with Harrison Ford all over it.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, Raiders of the Lost Ark is the franchise movie for me. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it goes without saying. It's 100%.
Can you, for anyone new to the podcast, can you try and explain to them what Harrison Ford in Indiana Jones means to you?
It's the pop culture mythology that saturated my brain. You know, I think at some point, you know, you're introduced to something really young, and it kind of... it's part of your fantasy world. It's where you escape. If you want to be really pretentious, it probably is my notion of what masculinity is. You know, if you have like a sort of fake notion of what a man should be, part of you knows that's just a complete, you know, fabrication. But that's what you're kind of aspiring to. You know, I've sometimes looked at myself in the mirror and not even known it, but subconsciously tried to dress like Indiana Jones.
Okay, let's stop there. How?
Wearing khaki trousers and going around with a satchel, and trying continuously to pull off leather jackets and hats and things like that. And my brother said to me a few times,
"Have you got a brown satchel?"
I've got a black satchel that I
Okay, let's start with the brown one. Does he have a black satchel or a brown one?
It's kind of like a muddy brown one. It's a tank. It's a military tank satchel he has.
Would you like one for Christmas?
Oh, God, yes. Bloody right.
Would you like me to buy you one for Christmas? A muddy brown military set.
Don't start that verbal contract, sir, because I'll be emailing you every day as a reminder. You know, it might be June, but come December, I would like a satchel to put my treasures in.
Have you ever dressed as Indiana Jones or tried to and thought, do you know what? I'm not far off today.
Oh, God, yeah, several times.
What, you've pulled it off?
Only in a demented manner that I've looked in the mirror. And then usually I'll find myself in reflections in TVs or in windows and think, oh, yeah, here he comes. But then I'll see myself in a proper mirror and it reveals reality.
Which is what?
Just a sort of lanky man with a pale face trying to look like Indiana Jones. Do you know what I mean? Kind of just a hideous elephant-sized reality pill. And it's like, you know, at best, I think, you know, maybe just wear the short round baseball cap because that's probably more fitting, really.
I've never seen you dressed like Indiana Jones.
Yeah, it's a case of...
You're not dressed like him now, are you, without me knowing?
No, God, no. This is just a T-shirt and a cardigan type of thing.
Yeah.
But I'll buy things and I'll realise that, that's just you trying to wear an Indiana Jones brown shirt. I've got lots of shirts that have got, like, the safari look on it type of thing. You know, the big, like, pockets. And I don't buy it thinking, oh, that's Indiana Jones. But subconsciously, there's obviously me trying to create the pattern. It's like a spider tries to create a web without even knowing it. I try to become an archaeologist with a ball whip without knowing it.
Have you ever gone to Asda or Tesco's dressed as Indiana Jones or your version of it without anyone knowing?
Well, sometimes it's without even me knowing until someone points it out that, you know, why have you got... Like, for instance, one thing I used to always do was wear my satchel, without even knowing it, under my jacket. So I'd have the satchel over one shoulder and then my jacket over it.
You haven't got your satchel in the house, have you?
No, it's in my car, unfortunately. It's a Puma one. Then I have a small one, a pouch.
A Puma one?
Yes. So it's just like a...
But that's not Indiana. A Puma
No, no. But I won't actually think to myself, right, I'm going to be Indiana Jones. But I'll look at all the bags, but I'll always come away with a satchel. So it won't be like, right, I'm going to be Indiana Jones.
Okay.
But I could get all these different bags. I think I've got one satchel I could probably get.
It's just a little nod to Indiana Jones.
Yeah, I think I've got one satchel that I wear I could probably get if you want me to show you.
Oh, that honestly, that would be amazing. Oh,
it's
thanks,
it's a very
David.
Small one. It's not...
Whatever.
Not,
you know. It's just nice knowing you buy satchels.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so this is quite a special episode, everybody. I think we're going to talk about Indiana Jones for a fair whack, and then David's going to review last week's movie, and then we'll do the random movie generator. So we might not do any tips and whatnot today, but there we go.
Quite a large one.
Okay. So David's showing his
black.
And
then that is a small one. Sort of like a man bag.
Oh, right.
Sort of vibe. I won't be a...
Yeah. So David's just showed us a large black sort of leather bag, sort of shoulder bag, and then sort of a man bag. But they are kind of Indiana Jones satchel-esque.
They're satchel-esque type thing, so it's not like me literally in cosplay mode 24/7. There's a guy on Twitter, though, who does dress like Harrison Ford all the time, and he just takes photos of himself in Asda and stuff. And sometimes I just respect that, and I just think, just go for it. I just think, why don't I just dress as Indiana Jones instead of like flirting with it, with satchels? Just go, you know, just get yourself a fedora and just embrace it.
Yeah. Actually, would you then be the madman in Chichester?
Probably. Do you know what I mean? Probably completely nuts, a bit overly self-conscious. And also, sometimes I look at these people on YouTube who are just obsessed by Indiana Jones. And when you watch it from afar, you do think to yourself, there's an element of mental illness attached here.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? You've got to find a line. You've got to get a stick and put a line in the sand. And perhaps also, you know... I don't know, you know, watch a Ninja Turtle film, mix it up a bit. It can't all just be about one man and a whip.
This feels quite poignant, this episode. Are you mentioning... Did you see that? Is it Radio 1 film reviewer who interviewed Harrison Ford?
Plum, isn't it?
And he seemed to... I don't know if he did tear up, but he seems to suggest he teared up.
Yes, he teared up at Cannes as well, didn't he? He's got very tearful recently.
Wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, it's the end of a landmark, isn't it? Massively, the end of a period. End of a life, enormously. And you know, Star Wars is part of an ensemble. Blade Runner wasn't immediately embraced, but Indiana Jones was his proper star vehicle. People massively embraced it. It's one of the most endeared characters ever within cinema. It's all down to his charisma, isn't it? It's almost like Daniel Craig with James Bond. It's like, you know, yes, it's like got an over $100 million budget, but you are really going there just to see one man's charisma melt the screen.
Yeah. So last night you went to watch the new movie, which is called, is it Dial of Destiny?
It certainly is, sir.
You went with Ryan?
I certainly did.
How much did you think about the movie? Because I went to pick the boys up yesterday from school about 2:30, 2:45, and I was thinking about you at work and whether you were thinking about the evening ahead.
Oh, that's kind of you for me to be in your thoughts. That's very good of you.
Well, sometimes you're in my thoughts as I drop off to sleep at night.
That's
not a
beautiful
dirty
thought.
Way, just in a...
No, absolutely. There's no dirt in there. It's as clean as the Queen's kitchen table type of thing when she was alive.
Yeah.
But, I was continually trying to calm myself down and just don't, you know...
How? So what were you thinking and then how did you react to those thoughts?
Dave, it's only a film. Don't work yourself up. You know, you're just going to ruin your evening. You know, any small thing's going to trigger you and get irritated. You've been here before, you know, with these big sequel nostalgia films. Stop trying to make the film in your head. Yeah. It's not going to be that. You didn't make the movie. Be realistic. The filmmakers, you know, we've only just come out of COVID. You know, there's a lot of production responsibilities come towards us as like an adult.
Stop talking to yourself at the vending machine.
Absolutely about Indiana Jones. Keep your inner monologue in your head. Don't start verbalising it to the dinner ladies. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's...
Shit. And were you looking forward to seeing Ryan, getting your treats, getting your rice cakes?
Trying to calm myself down, because even things like, if it's a big film, even if Ryan doesn't fulfill my expectations, I can get ratty. Like a case of are you looking forward to that scene? What scene's that? Oh, he obviously hasn't looked at the film reviews. He's not taking this as seriously as me. I'm not saying that's what will go through my head. I'm not saying I'd embrace that thinking. I'd be thinking to myself, Dave, don't think that. But I'll be very on edge and have high expectations.
Yeah, don't ruin my evening, Ryan. I'm excited. Don't bring your gloom.
Or just like normal, lower, normal energy height along. You know, you should be bounding along to me like you've just taken several lines of cocaine, like you're, you know, Al Pacino in Scarface pre-chainsaw scene in the toilet. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of
so were you thinking, I hope Ryan's up for this because I'm going to be up for it, I hope Ryan is?
Or it's more of a case of however Ryan appears, you've just got to accept it. It's almost as I went for like a Zen Buddhism.
What?
I went for like a Zen Buddhism, kind of like Russell Brand afternoon, of just trying to calm myself down. Because the thing is, I've lived in my brain now for 45 years, and Indiana Jones...
Yeah, you have, haven't you? Yeah.
I have.
45 years.
In this sort of, this bizarre muscle thing that exists in this skull box called my head. And couldn't even work out what it was then for a second. This thing that balances on my shoulders. And that Indiana Jones 5 could be an antidote to Nirvana for me, or absolute dystopia disaster.
But you know, if you detach yourself, that it's never going to recreate those feelings from when you were 10. You know that.
100%, 100%.
But you want a drag of that heroin spliff, don't you? Just one more time.
Massively. 100%, 100%. It goes without saying.
And you don't want Ryan to go, oh, this heroin spliff doesn't really taste really, it's not giving me any buzz, dang. You know?
Or a lot of the time I'll just project onto him. So he won't be saying that.
Yeah.
But he'll just, oh, I don't mean project in a biological. Right. I mean just projecting. I don't know why I'm going there. I'm projecting now on you for saying that. I'm projecting whilst I'm projecting. But it's a case of he perhaps doesn't have the same high energy that I am. Like, oh, apparently John Williams is 91 now. Oh, is he? Well, yeah, you know, that's quite an interesting fact. He's 91. Like, I'm expecting him to be kind of like, God, I sound like a psychopath now, but this is just
no,
the fact.
No, not at all. We're all thinking these things, aren't we?
It's a case of, not having the reactions that I
expect. If I went last night with you and you said, oh, apparently John Williams is 91, and I'd go, oh, is he really? Wow. Would you have gone, oh...
Well, that's not a bad reaction you gave then. That would be enough. Oh, really?
Oh, really? Oh, okay. What do you want? Do you want crisps, or would you have gone, I just told you about bloody John Williams, David.
I'd be like, deep breath, Dave.
Would you really?
It depends on what... if I was in the middle of an Indiana Jones fact, and then you stopped me to ask me if I wanted crisps...
Can we do that now?
Yeah.
And how you might react. Okay.
The budget for the entire film was 300.
Do you want crisps or not?
Yeah, that's very kind of you to offer me some crisps.
What were you saying?
It basically the Indiana Jones, the budget, the actual production.
My wallet.
That's okay. Is it in the car? Is it?
Oh no, I haven't got my wallet.
Oh, that's good.
Sorry, what were you saying, David?
Oh, it's just an important element. It'll make you enjoy the film a bit more in the sense that the budget of the actual
what
movie...
Flavors you want? Sorry, what flavour?
Doesn't matter, mate. I'm kidding. I'm only playing around. Flavours of crisps. I'll have a...
have you got a problem with me?
No, God, no. I'm playing around. It's pre-cinema banter. I'll have bacon. Thank you for buying me the crisps.
They haven't got bacon.
Well, what have they got? I have cheese and chives.
What was this fact you were telling me about?
It doesn't matter. It doesn't. I've forgotten about it already. It does not matter whatsoever. Let's just have the crisps, and we'll move on from there.
So where do you meet Ryan when you go? Do you meet?
I meet him in the car park.
Oh. And so when you first saw him last night, did you go, "He's on my wavelength. He's feeling what I'm feeling"?
No, unfortunately, because he had toothache. And he had IBS, and at one point we weren't going to watch the film, and we were going to hold off and watch it next week, and we're going to go and watch the Jennifer Lawrence comedy instead. And he said, no, it's fine. Next week, nothing will be perfect. It'll just be another problem. I'll be okay. I'll be able to relax. And it was okay. He managed to take some Nurofen Plus and he was all right.
Yeah, but that must have annoyed you. Although you're sort of sympathetic, that must have made you go, you're ruining my, that tooth is ruining my evening.
Oh, 100%.
Not your fault, but it's ruining it.
Yeah, it's an inner struggle. It's an inner wrestle in my head. There's like, it's child and parent constantly having a conversation. It's, I look like I'm having a conversation with Ryan, but I'm having a conversation with Dave Edwards Jr. and Dave Edwards Sr.
But I'm with you there. You're all pumped up to watch this big movie and someone comes along with a, like an aching molar.
Let's remember, it was only 2 weeks ago that I had a wisdom tooth removed and I was in a hell of a lot of pain and I had to go back to the dentist to actually have it seen to because my side of my mouth was just in utter agony. So you would have thought if anyone could empathise if someone had a toothache, it was me.
But you couldn't.
I was like, for fuck's sake. You know, it's probably because you haven't been cleaning your teeth or you've been eating too much sugar or whatever. Look after your fucking teeth. You know what I mean? I just... And this is a man that was in a dentist surgery literally just 2 weeks ago having his wisdom tooth removed. But I'm terrible with empathy. I just can't empathise with another human being. It's just like... And also, this is my Friday night. I've been waiting a long time for this.
Yeah, I've had 5 days. I've been building up to this fucking movie, mate. And if you've got a problem with your tooth, don't come. Tell me early on so I can come. I can prepare for the movie. Am I right, David?
100%. Well, to the extent
that
I was going to say.
And then I can come with Lewis or Leslie or...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Tim and Bill, definitely, 100%. And that's why we're thinking about... I said, let's see the Jennifer Lawrence film. And I wasn't joking. Let's check that out.
Oh, yeah, but that must have been a moment.
No, I was
like...
Was
that, it's okay, we'll just go and see the Jennifer Lawrence movie.
I meant it in the sense that I don't want to cash my chips in too early. I absolutely meant that big time. And also, I thought to myself, you get less idiots in the cinema. And also, there's this really bizarre part of me that there's a part of me that doesn't want to spend all my chips. And at some point, the idea of Indiana Jones 5 not watching it but waiting for it is more exciting than the actual watching of it. And there's a part of my psyche that actually would... put it off for a little while longer.
Well, I've listened to about 119 podcasts this week about Man United buying Mason Mount. Am I going to watch his debut game? Nah.
God, that is so relevant to my thinking and psyche so and the way weird, I live my life.
Nah, not interested in watching him play.
That's so weird. That is just so exactly how I more and more live my life. 100%.
Oh, right, yeah, that's 6 out of 10 game, rubbish. Anyway, let's listen to the podcast when they talk about his 6 out of 10 game.
It's just insane, the amount of TV shows that I hear about and know about and I can talk about in at work about, but I've never actually watched. It's just ridiculous because I'm interested. I've seen episode one, listened to all the reviews and the interviews, and then, it's all about the hype. You realise that the marketing and the trailers and the posters and the interviews and the hype is more important than the actual thing.
Richard Temple says, watching live on YouTube. Welcome, Richard Temple, and everybody else watching. Richard Temple says, the joy of anticipation.
Oh, God, without anticipation, where would we be? Nowhere. Anticipation is what keeps the soul cooking, Captain. 100%, 100%.
So you meet Ryan in the car park. You get over your little... Ryan's okay. He's up for it, though, isn't he? He's up for watching the movie.
Yeah, definitely. I think his IBS kind of sorted itself out. He didn't really mention it again. And I think his tooth was better, definitely.
Okay. So you got already got your tickets or you get your tickets?
I get my tickets.
Aren't you risking it, just turning up, getting your tickets late?
Well, yeah, I was suddenly a bit worried about that type of thing. But I wasn't sure what showing we were going to watch exactly. So I didn't want to actually buy them and then find out, because there's loads of showings of Indiana Jones 5. You know, it's the big film this weekend.
Is the cinema buzzing? Do you sense a difference, like people queuing, people sort of outside?
Well, I literally sped walk to the cinema, and I think that annoyed Ryan a bit because he's got toothache and IBS. But I was like, sorry mate, I'll just gonna walk up ahead. And there was no one there. The whole foyer was completely empty. I don't know if because it was a slightly earlier showing.
What time?
It was straight after work, so it was 6 o'clock. Immediately after work, I went there.
It was empty.
It was literally me and two other blokes, and I ran past them to get to the counter before them, and that was it.
What do you think that? Why do you think that is?
I do not know. I have no.
What about when you came out? Was it busy?
That's a good point. But then again, no, not particularly. No.
Oh my God.
But the thing is, it's doing well in America. Already it's made a good amount of money because it came out on Wednesday. So they haven't got the... they're hoping for it to make 60 to 70 million over the weekend. But it's at least made near to 10 million already, and it's not even the weekend yet. So it's got potential.
Right, so you get to the cinema. There's no one there. You're with Ryan. Ryan's got a grumbling tooth. You get your tickets. Now let's talk sweeties.
Sweeties, I treated myself in a big way. I got a large box of white chocolate covered Oreos, and I kept them in the fridge and then put them in an ice cream cooler bag in the boot of my Skoda. So they're very hard, and the white chocolate shell just crunches in your mouth, and they are heroin. They are literally heroin. I remember the last time I had them, I was watching Sonic with my nephew, and there was a part of me thinking, these are too good for him. I need to have these all to myself. I didn't do that. I still shared them with him, but there was a legitimate voice in my head that actually said, these need to be mine, because they really are intense. They're intense.
These need to be mine.
I'm not putting on like a sort of mock voice. They are properly, they're a kiss. They're not just, you're not just biting into something. It's just a real experience. And they were distracting me a bit because I thought, am I going to have them now? No, have them during the second act.
I like the idea of your nephew looking up at you while you're eating. And these need to be mine.
Oh, absolutely. Simple as that. Because we had half each. We were watching Sonic and... it was Mario. It was one of those computer game adaptations. And I was just like, God, he reintroduced them to me as well. I was like, hey, if you want them, you can have them. You know, I was like, God, yeah, mate, your taste buds are firm and ready, aren't they? Bloody hell, you ain't messing around.
Brett Burp says, you learnt your lesson from the wisdom tooth, then.
Yep, very true. Quite right. Absolutely. Learnt my lesson from the wisdom tooth.
How is an Oreo like that size?
Yeah, it's about the size of a pirate's eye patch type of thing. Well, that literally would be the size. And it's covered in white chocolate. It's not just got a white cream bit in the centre. It's actually covered in white chocolate. So, yeah, it's covered in white chocolate. Are you there, Captain? He's there ready for me. I sometimes dream about these...
It's about the size
of a pipe. But it literally is. It's not like an eyeball. It would go over an eye patch. And I sometimes, bizarrely, think I got so into them once eating them in a cinema. I only have them every now and then. That I even dreamed how they make them. And I could imagine them going down a massive conveyor belt, these Oreos, and then going into a river of white chocolate and then coming out. Do you know what I mean? You just think,
my God.
And then, because they...
Can you just talk about that, what you dream about? I just want to spend like 30 seconds just imagining that delicious image. Okay, here we go.
A big factory, for some reason, in the north of Britain, in Bristol. Is that the north or is that the middle of Britain? I don't know, but somewhere away from the south. Not the north of Britain. Edit that out. That's okay. The sort of thing.
Of course. I won't edit that out. That's unfair. Telling me how to edit.
No, that is unfair. It's good of you to edit. I shouldn't be giving you edit pointers like I'm Ridley Scott in an edit bay sort of thing. But that's the sort of thing someone from Celebrity Love Island would say, isn't it? Getting your geography wrong.
Where is Bristol?
Yorkshire.
Where is Bristol?
Bristol is in Yorkshire, but this factory. Bristol is in the Midlands. Where the fuck is Bristol then? Get that out, Dave. You can't have me getting geography wrong like that. That's just terrible. You are the editor. It's up to you. Your final cut. You have final cut, sir.
No, it's where, fine. I don't where know where Bristol? Some places
where
are.
Where is Bristol then? Is it near London? So I don't know where the fuck it is. Terrible. Aardman Animation is in Bristol, isn't it? That's all I know. That's where Nick Park lives there.
Oh, flipping hell.
Where
bells.
Is Bristol then? It's on the. Is it. Where is it then? So it's near. It's like Bristol, Leeds, Manchester, isn't it? That kind of.
Yeah, that'll do. Right, so
no, where
you're
is
in
it
the
then?
North of London, north of London in Bristol. Yeah,
do tell me where Bristol is, just so for future reference.
It's over there. It's west a bit.
Oh, West Country.
That'll do.
There we go. There we go. Move on.
Bristol's near Scotland.
But Scotland is in the north of England. That's in the north.
No, it's not near Scotland.
I was going to say, you've confused me now. Flipping egg.
Right, let's that's my whole reality. Imagine this Oreo factory.
Okay, Oreo factory. It's in Yorkshire. It's a big factory, you know, big steel structure. And you've got this massive conveyor belt and it is littered with Oreo biscuits. And they go all the way down this conveyor belt. And there's just a lake of white chocolate, basically. It's a sort of massive lake of white chocolate that Sean Connery would drown a villain in, you know, and he'd say, he'd do a one line like, oh, I hope you've got a sweet tooth type
of thing. Or Una Stubbs would be nude in.
Yeah, absolutely, totally and utterly. You know, it'd be the first Bond film to get a 12 certificate because you've got a naked white chocolate woman in it. And then they come out and they're just absolutely white chocolate fied. And then you've got like hair dryers, not literal hair dryer, but like a hair dryer thing that dries them. And then you've just got to have all these women with hair nets on, you know, these Julie Water lookalikes. And they've signed a contract that they can't eat these Oreos. But how could you not, for God's sake? It'd be Oreo RIP, wouldn't it? But then yeah. They've got to put them in their boxes.
I love the image of them just coming down the conveyor belt. And the conveyor belt's nice and clean. It's shiny.
Very
it's lovely.
Shiny and clean.
And they come down, they just.
Yeah, blip, 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 blip. And there's actually
little
bubbles.
And then they come out and it's a wet film of white chocolate. Blip, 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 blip. Oh.
Absolutely.
Anyway, you had a big old bag of those in the cinema
last night. And they come in a lovely box. It's very civilised.
What are they called? White chocolate Oreos?
They're white chocolate Oreos. I might even buy some more today. That's why I don't buy them. Because you fall off the wagon and you want the next hit.
David.
Yeah, I like them. I like them. Massively.
White chocolate Oreos.
There's almost like a libido energy.
It's not Belgian white chocolate coated Oreos, is it?
No, it's just white chocolate covered Oreos. I'll see if I can find them.
I found them.
Yeah, they are.
Fucking hell, they look rank.
Really? You are joking with me, aren't
well,
you?
Okay, I'm looking at them now.
I guess we all live in our own little Truman Show, our own little subjective prison of reality. But,
Oh, bloody hell, they look sugary, David. How many in a box?
Well, I remember having at least six, and then wanting
last
a
night?
Seven. No, this is when I shared it with my nephew. I remember having six and that not being enough. I think it was about 12 we had. We went to Aldi, and they were quite cheap there. And, because it was me, my dad, and my, and my nephew, and my dad said, you two can go off and you can buy as many snacks as you want. And we kept coming back to him and said, well, we bought our snacks. And he said, that's too many. And we had to stop putting some back and coming back. And in the end, we only had some Oreo biscuits and some popcorn. I mean, you don't tell two men or a boy and a man, you can have as many snacks as you want. And then, you know, you keep coming back sort of thing. But anyway, I've gone off subject there. What was your question? I really have gone off subject there, didn't I? Flipping heck. Forget about Bristol. I couldn't even work that out. I was like, why am I talking about that? Yeah, there's 12 in a pack. Simple as that. Just focus on the maths.
Right.
Not the family dynamics.
Just want to know, what did Ryan have sweets or did...
He didn't actually. He usually has a lager in the cinema. I didn't even have that last
night.
No,
well, so he's a dicky tummy and a toothache. That's a crap way to watch a film.
He
like
seemed
that.
Okay later on. He seemed. Okay. I said to him every now and then, "You okay?" Sort of thing. He said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine."
Right. So you got your tickets, you got your sweets. That's all you've got, Oreos, last night.
Oh, God, no. I got a... slightly annoying that there was loads of hype about you could get an Indiana Jones cup and an Indiana Jones popcorn container. I went to Cineworld and they didn't have it, annoyingly. And they said to me, oh, do you still want it, though? And I had... It's elemental. They had an elemental cup and popcorn box. So I just went with that. But it was annoying because the Indiana Jones popcorn box is like a treasure box filled with popcorn. And the drink cup is a giant fedora. And they didn't have it, though, annoyingly. So right. That was a bit of a potential toddler tantrum in the foyer, but I relaxed.
You didn't. You weren't going to have a tantrum over that, were you?
But, yeah, I sort of wanted that. I sort of imagined it on top of my fridge afterwards. Well, I would never have a tantrum because a tantrum with a grown man is like the beginning of an episode of The Bill. Do you know what I mean? It's GBH. You can't literally start stamping your feet on the floor. They'll just get a mace spray out. You know what I mean?
Do you know what happened to me in the week?
No, what happened?
Oh, my God. This guy went absolutely mad at me in that I was taking the boys to school.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh, no, I won't bother.
No, I'm interested in this.
I was playing... I got in the car, I said to the boys, right, you can choose the songs on the way to school. So they chose a couple of songs. And then we were approaching the school, and we were sat in a traffic jam like that. And that's it, I was playing Boxer Beat by Joe Smooth. And you'll be doing the Boxer Beat. Boxer beat, boxer beat, boxer beat, boxer beat.
God, all three of you just doing that together.
Well, I played it to him, so I thought, oh, I think you'll like this.
Oh, brilliant.
And they went, yeah, I like this. So we were, I had it on 19 on the, which was quite loud, but not that loud. It was on 19.
That's fair enough.
Sat in a little queue on this 30 mile an hour road, sat in a queue. So we just sat there stationary and I thought, right, what's the next song to put on? I was looking on my phone. Bloke stood right by the window. I went, oh fuck, oh shit, something wrong with the car.
By the window?
Yeah. So, oh shit, something's wrong with the car. Fuck. I thought I'd seen smoke or so I just put the window down. You're playing your music so loud. You're on the phone approaching a school with fucking children in the back. Fucking sort it out.
Oh, my God.
And he walked... I was just like...
Is he the father of one of the children at the school?
No. So he looked like this typical Tottenhamian... someone from Totnes, hippie. He was about 58 years old. Long grey hair. His ponytail went down to his asshole. That's how long it was. And he was wearing linen. And he looked like a fucking state. But he said that in front of my boys. My boys are just...
I bet. What a nightmare.
It was horrible. It was we were having such fun. And then he said that in front of the boys. Anyway.
No, that's a nightmare, isn't it? It sounds like he had serious issues anyway. I mean, I'm not the fashion police, but it doesn't sound ideal, does it? Linen and a ponytail.
But when you shouted out, like, you're right, that was like the start of an episode of The Bill. Because then I get out, I go up to him and I'm like, oof, and he's, oof, oof. And then he falls in the road. You got your episode of The Bill.
Flipping it. And then you get your kids out and say, you know, this is what happens. You know, this is what, no one talks to dad like this, and if anyone talks to you in the playground like this, it's called tough love.
Yeah.
You know, each punch was a kiss.
Honestly, typical Totnes person who sort of on the outside. Anyway, whatever.
God, what a volcano. It's nothing.
I'm talking about. There are lots of lovely
Totnes. I had a chap in McDonald's that was this was 2 weeks ago. And I was, it was after I'd saw Transformers, and I was talking to Ryan about why the Transformer franchise has just gone downhill. And he walked up to me in a suit. I didn't know he was drunk. And he just said, I've been listening to you for 10 minutes. You talk utter shit.
What? Say that to me again. You were in McDonald's.
I was in McDonald's with my friend Ryan. about 3 weeks ago, and I was just talking to him about the Transformers franchise. We come out of watching Transformers, and I was, you know, just saying why I thought the franchise had lost its way. And this guy came over to me.
How old?
I would say mid-30s, in a suit, holding a attaché briefcase and a McTasty in the other hand. And he just wandered over to me, straight to my face. And I thought he was going to say something quite civilized, because he's, well, you know, he looked like Jerry Maguire, you know, like an executive. He goes, "I've been listening to you for 10 minutes, and you just talk utter shit." And the whole restaurant just went silent. And he staggered off, and then he got into a car and drove off. And luckily, one of the women said, he was flirting with me earlier. He was clearly drunk. Don't worry, babe. Which made me feel a bit better that it wasn't
especially
just like...
Especially with babe tagged on the end.
I know, the whole thing sort of soothed me quite a bit. But he was completely done. He got in a car and drove off. I did feel sorry for him. But it stays with you, doesn't it? Even the next morning, I thought, God, that man, you know, verbally attacked me in a public space. It sort of stays with you. You feel quite...
It really stayed. Well, hence I tell you and the pod with me, oh, it totally stayed with me. Because then I was like, oh, great, the boys have experienced that now. Thanks
I know.
For that.
The thing is, though, it's stuff like that that's the real education in life, that things can change so abruptly, isn't it? It's a good thing to sort of perhaps experience with your father. I know it's a dark thing, but you... it is important, stuff like that, to be able to process and get through your head, that at any moment you can have a mentally ill man shout at you. And you just got to, you know, roll with it.
Okay, David, so you and Ryan... walk into the room, into the screening venue. What do you call it?
Auditorium.
You walk in there. How big is it, and how many people are in there?
It's a very big cinema, and there's basically you might have to censor me here. I don't know. So I'm going to be very open about this.
What are you about to say?
You know, I'm still slightly worried.
Are you live on YouTube?
Oh, God, this is very true. I forgot about that. I've forgotten completely about... I forget completely that I'm even doing a podcast when I'm chatting to you. I even forget
what
that
I'm... What were you about to say? Well, you can't say it.
No, I can't say it now. It's I completely... I'm going to say...
Can you WhatsApp me?
I can see it in a general manner. I usually sit in the front box of the cinema because no one's around me.
The front box?
The front box, the front four seats right in front of the screen.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah, like that. So I give myself whiplash because I feel as though pain and cinema should come together.
Ryan doesn't think that.
No, he doesn't. I did offer him... because he has IBS and a toothache, that he could sit wherever he wanted, type of thing. So it makes me sound like a kind Hitler. You know, just one day you can sit where you want to sit. But he was okay sitting there. But when I got there, which never happens, those four rows of seats were taken up by a group of people.
What were you going to... So, were you going to have a go at them then?
I wasn't going to have a go at them, but I was going to assign certain stereotypical expectations towards that social group. And I'm not going to say who the social group were, because that would literally... I don't want canine defecation put through my letterbox. Oh, it's nothing... It's nothing politically incorrect to that degree. Do you know what I mean? But you would expect a certain... basically, it was like, you know, are these people just going to be really loud, drunk, and just like a real, real handful type of thing? But they were fine, in actual fact. But the idea of having anyone sat in my four rows of seats definitely did trigger me for a second. I was like, oh, here we go. This is going to be a nightmare. But it was fine. It wasn't an issue. But I'm usually, it's almost like I'm Prince Charles with Camilla, aka Ryan, in the sense that I've got my own little cornered off royal box. Do you know what I mean?
Is that how you see it?
Yeah, sort of thing. But now
it's being
invaded.
Who do you think you are, mate?
I don't know. I do not know. I think I'm going through an identity crisis, because clearly, if you look at my postcode and bank account, you know, I should not have a royal box.
A royal box?
That's how I kind of see it, really.
David Edwards is here, everybody.
Absolutely. That's what goes off in my head. There's many a trumpet that goes off in my head. But I've got to remember there's
Carpet rolled out for you.
Oh, but that carpet doesn't exist in reality, and I need to appreciate that.
Well, if we push this pod up the charts...
Oh, good grief. Trumpets and red carpets
galore.
I think
it'd be a nightmare if you got fame.
Oh, yeah, I'd definitely be... I'd have lots of tantrums. I'd be quite a diva. Definitely in the morning and stuff like that. Yeah, it'd be a handful. Definitely a handful.
How are you feeling? Are you excited as you walk in?
Yeah, it's one of the... I knew I was anticipating a lot because I usually love trailers. I'm a massive trailer fan and I just want to get the trailers done. I haven't got time for trailers today. Let's just get to the main meal. I'm not interested in the starter. I just want to get my knife and fork and plough into the roast dinner. Do you know what I mean? I don't want garlic bread. And I thought, because you sort of analyse your own thought process. It's like, hold on, Dave, this is a new Barbie trailer. You haven't seen this before. And I think this is a new Mission Impossible trailer. You can focus on Indiana Jones later. But I was like, no. I'm not interested in that now. Just give me it. I'm not interested in the stockings. I want the actual Christmas
knickers.
Present. Yeah, it's like I was being sexual then. I didn't mean a women's stockings. I meant...
men's stockings.
Men's stockings as in Christmas stockings, ones that have chocolate pennies in them. Simple as that. I want the actual wrapped gifts under the tree. I want the main event now. Time for that. Let's get on with this.
Could you say that again, but in a really deep sort of lizardy voice?
I want the main attraction. I want the main event, and I want it now. I'm not messing around anymore. I'm sick of being teased. Just open that box of Maltesers and let's just get down to business, all right?
Sorry, could you do that exactly the same way again, but put the odd like a lizard tongue in there?
I want the main attraction. I want the main event. And I want it now. Simple as that.
I know exactly how you felt.
Chimpanzee mode. I'm in chimpanzee David Attenborough Blue Planet. This is why
we're on the planet for this little moment. Yeah.
Not these like little ideals and community values. It's like, what can Dave Edwards get out of it? I want a dopamine hit right now. Thank you very much. I want fireworks going off in my skull.
And my bum.
Absolutely, both. Bum and skull, hand in hand, hugging each other. I want to forget who I am and just get on with this. I want to be Michael Jordan in mid-flight in the air, in the flow.
Slam dunk my ass.
Yeah, absolutely. Until it's just numb and I don't even have an arse anymore.
What have you got?
Nothing. I look like I'm just hovering, like I'm in some kind of science fiction film. Or I'm doing a Michael Jackson moonwalk. Do you know what I mean? I'm just like slinking around the room type of thing.
Are you talking to Rhino at the moment, or are you just like... enough now, focus.
Every now and then I'm saying, how's your toothache? Is your IBS
that's
okay?
Good of you.
Sort of things like that. And I think I'm preparing my food at this point, laying it out so I know where to get. Oh, I was a bit worried that it was too light in the cinema. I kept saying to them, I hope they're going to turn the lights off. It was there was way too much light.
Honestly,
and he said, don't worry,
I think I'm with the piss bloke in McDonald's. I think I'd be like, why don't you shut up?
Yeah, I think Ryan is very, very patient. And for me to in any way have any negativity towards his energy levels is that of a psychopath. Literally. A man who needs Zoom webcam therapy ASAP. Who has got hang-ups and issues. In a big, big way. It's not about Harrison Ford. It's about some kind of OCD box that needs to be ticked.
Yeah, but I'm with you here. You're on the precipice. It's where you said at the start, this is the last Indiana. This is massive for you. This is the last Indiana Jones movie.
Well, we live in a consumer society. What we do is we go out and buy stuff. And this is my best stuff that I enjoy buying.
When you watch Last Crusade, you're like, it's all right. Yeah. I know there'll be another one. When you watch Crystal Skull, didn't like that, but I know there'll be another one. This is the last one.
Absolutely, 100%.
As the curtain opens and Pearl and Dean pump out, this is your last Indiana Jones. Can you take us through those first, the screen lights up, the trailers are done. How are you feeling? What are you looking at?
First of all, the first thing I'm looking for is the clever introduction of the Paramount Mountain, because they always cleverly include that at the beginning of an Indiana Jones film. Like, it's the Gopher Mound in Crystal Skull. It's a literal mountain in Raiders of the Lost Ark. All those different elements. And that's not there at the beginning. And I'm a bit confused. And then I suddenly realise, oh, Disney now own Indiana Jones, not Paramount. But that wasn't the end of the world.
Nice to know that you're... You're losing yourself in the movie.
I know, there you go, straight away. It's like, you know, you can't watch it again with childlike eyes. It's just like an adult geek, isn't it? Unfortunately, a bit of a drama evolved whereby I kind of just thought to myself, yeah, I just, you know, I just sat there just almost like, basically I start watching it and it starts off well. The de-aged Harrison Ford.
When you say it starts off well, you're like, oh.
Yeah, it starts off well. But then a blue spot appears on the screen and it's a buffering little dot. It's very, very small. It's about the size of maybe like a 5p coin or something. But every time the lighting goes black, a blue dot appears. And I'm like, I can't do that. I was saying to Ryan, is that blue? Can you see a blue dot? And he goes, yeah, I can see a blue dot. And he says, it'll probably go in a minute. Just relax. And it just would not go.
Did he tell you to relax?
Yeah, I just can't believe this is happening. I just can't believe it. So I leave the cinema whilst the film's going on. And I have to get an usher.
Hang on, this is huge. By the way, we're not doing movie reviews. We're not doing any of that. This is a special all on its own. I'm going to have to edit it and put it out this week because this is extraordinary. You get up off your seat and you walk into the... what do you say?
I just can't believe this is... I was almost having an existential crisis. Like, is this a prank or something? It's like, I've tried to keep myself calm this whole cinema visit. And now we have the most ridiculous IT issue ever. And also, I know it's like Lord of the Flies in that cinema foyer, in the sense that everyone is a teenager. It's like flipping Yellow Jackets. You just got a bunch of 17-year-old kids out there. There's only one adult, and he's always in the staff room every time I'm trying to find him. And he just sat there reading a Jean Le Carré book. It's just a nightmare. I say to this girl, I say, listen, there's a massive blue dot on the screen. And she goes, well, can you show it to me? And you know what's going to happen? When we go into the cinema and I stand there.
It's not going to be there.
It's not there. And I'm missing the film and I'm waiting to see a blue dot.
This is hell.
It's absolute hell. And I'm trying to not have a massive tantrum with this 18-year-old A-level student. And I do keep it cool. And then luckily she does see the blue spot. And
how many other people in this room with you watching it?
About eight or nine. And
is it? Do you feel like everyone's a little bit pissed off with it?
No, they're just getting on with it. But I said, but Ryan seems to be annoyed. And they're noisily eating their popcorn, but I'm like going with that because it's a cinema. It's the year 2023. People's cinema etiquette has just vanished. So, but, you know, the idea, and it's buffering. It's bloody circling around this blue dot. And she goes off and she goes, I'll sort it out. It stops buffering, but now it's just frozen, this blue spot. But it does go when there's light. And in the end, I had to get up again. And I find the girl and she's laughing with her friends, not at me, but part of me is thinking, is she laughing at you? Because there's always that paranoia, isn't there, with young people.
Should we do that? You come over.
No, he said that.
No way.
Sorry, guys. Fine.
No, he guys. Said that. To me. What?
Sorry,
what?
Sorry, guys. Yeah, very quickly, that blue spot we spoke about earlier. Sorry about that.
Who is
your
granddad?
It's
the
bloke. He's the bloke who came up to me and said about the blue spot spinning.
The blue spot stopped spinning, but it's still on the actual screen.
What's he talking about, blue spot?
Blue spot, what meant to do about it?
He's always just have a chat with the actual manager.
No, he's in there reading his book.
Yeah, I know where the staff room is. I've been there before.
Come on, Sally. Why have you been there before?
I've never worked here. I have worked in cinemas before, so I've got an idea of
the stress. Just leave him, Sally.
I know you've got a lot going on.
Honestly, who is he?
I'm missing the actual film.
Yeah.
Can I speak to the manager?
Briefly? No, he's in there. He's reading his book.
Yeah,
she just told you that. He's in there. She just told you that.
What's going on?
Sorry, I don't want to disturb what you're in the middle of, but I'm just at the beginning of Indiana Jones. There seems to be like a... There seems to be a blue spot on the screen.
Okay, so this is what happened. You got the manager out.
Yes, and he went and had a look at it, and he said, I'm not sure what that is. I can't stop and start the film again because no one
How
else...
How much time have you missed here? Like 5 minutes?
Yeah, I'd say about...
Oh, the whole thing's buggered.
About... it's all right. I could get back into it, and I plan to watch the film again. I didn't really miss much of the plot, thankfully. But in the end, I just had to go with it. And I think once that the dark setting of the opening sequence was done, it only appeared every now and then, and I just managed to sort of go into some kind of Zen Eckhart Tolle mode.
Glenn Eckert wrote in the comment box, Indiana Jones and the blue spot of mild inconvenience.
Oh, massive mild inconvenience. Mild inconvenience can just extrapolate in your head,
can it? Yeah.
And it's just like, yeah, I know it's mildly inconvenient. It's not a massive, it doesn't look like a smurf, but, you know, it's there. I can see it and it shouldn't be there.
Yeah. Okay, so you recorded some voice notes last night. Are they from after the film?
Yes, 100%.
I just really want to make sure that we play those, and I've got to be done in 25 minutes. So I'm just trying to work out the next 25. How long do you reckon they are?
I think it's about 8 minutes.
8 minutes?
7 to 8 minutes. Maybe not that long. I can't remember.
And do you sort of review the movie straight away from having just come out?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Okay, right. I'll make sure I put that on in the next 10 minutes. So, is there anything, I don't know what to, where do you reckon we should go from here? Do you want to review the movie or explain your experience of it as you go, as you watch it?
I think whatever you'd fancy to listen to sort of thing.
Okay, so you sat back down after the blue dot. What was it like, David? What was this movie? Well, I want to save the review. Oh. Should we listen to the...
Yeah, let's listen to...
Well, your review after you watched the movie from last night?
Yeah, we can listen to that. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, amazing. Okay, right. I just don't want to forget that you did that last night.
No, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, 7 minutes. Okay, should I just put it on? We'll have a listen.
I think one thing to be aware of it is that when it came out of Cannes... The reviews were very poor. Do you know what I mean? So, I mean, a lot of people said they shouldn't have brought it out at the Cannes Film Festival because the reaction from the critics was very negative.
Mm.
Just to put that in context, do you know what I mean?
So you're sitting there watching it. The blue dot is always there for the rest of the film?
Once it starts lighting up, and also, thankfully, when it's in New York in the 60s, it's a lot, lot brighter. When it was during the opening action sequence, you know, the James Bond opening mission, that's very dark. And I think they've done that because he's de-aged to a Raiders of the Lost Ark age. You know, he's like 40-year-old Harrison Ford, which at times works, other times it doesn't. I think some people have been overly critical towards it, but it's very dark then. And they do that a lot of the time to help the special effects. It's like, I remember He-Man, Masters of the Universe movie, that's set over one night because of special effects. The same with Die Hard and films like that. It makes it a lot cheaper to do. But so that blue spot really stuck out massively. But then as the film went on, it's a lot, lot brighter. It's got like a summer New York 60s vibe to it.
How are you feeling as you're watching the movie? Rather than how the movie is, how are you feeling?
Trying to stop, almost like I might as well be at a Buddhist meditation session, like an Eckhart Tolle gathering, in the sense that I'm like, don't look at the blue dot, don't focus on the blue dot, just focus on the plot. You know, you've basically, the manager's been, you've had the usher in, there's no one else can help you.
This,
you know,
feels like a cruel prank from the universe.
Oh yes, that is exactly what it felt like. That is spot on. That's exactly it. It's like, this is the Truman Show and Ed Harris is having a bad day. Do you know what I mean? It literally was a prank from the universe. I've been totally and utterly pranked. Yes, punked.
Do you know what the prank was?
What's that?
You're going to, if we let you watch the movie without the blue dot, you're just going to say, it's 2-3 stars, son. So I tell you what, before you slag this Kim movie off, have a bit of this blue dot.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go, Mr. Cinema. You know, look through the aesthetics and just appreciate the storytelling. Can you look through the blue dot? It's almost like a Neo from the Matrix Karate Kid challenge type of thing. And I failed it horrifically.
Did you manage to watch the film and lose yourself in it? Or were you constantly thinking about the blue dot?
No. I did manage to, because the cinematography was very bright and the blue dots, you got rid of it quite quickly.
How did you feel watching it? Did the little David Edwards get a tickle under his armpit?
Yes, he certainly did. Absolutely, yeah. 100%. I take my hat off to James Mangold, in the sense that this film is a lot better than the critics say it is. From my personal point of view, do you know what I mean? I would say it's filmmaking.
I felt quite emotional then.
I'm glad you did, sir. It's high pedigree filmmaking. It's very impressive what James Mangold has actually done. It's not perfect.
I don't care about that. Nothing's perfect. Nothing's perfect, David.
No, nothing's perfect. Okay. I agree. Not even a white chocolate Oreo.
Did you feel emotional at all during the...
Did I feel emotional? Yes, I did. There were moments, definitely, when Solla and Harrison Ford are together at times, two really old men, and they're like, he's in Solla's kitchen and there's kids running around, but it's an old New York apartment, but it's filmed very similar to when they're at Solla's house in Egypt, Cairo, and he's got kids running around. But then Solla's talking about being so old and the best adventures are behind them. I felt quite emotional then, certainly. That definitely had an emotional element to it. It is... James Mangold, I've got a lot of respect for that chap. I think he's done a very good... And the Butterworth brothers, it's heaps upon heaps better than Crystal Skull. It knocks... Because Crystal Skull was just so bland. There's some really good moments in this film. And I tell you something else. It's a film... It's a bit like why Casino Royale was good with James Bond. And I'm repeating myself a bit now from my voice message that I did in the car last night, that I made the observation that Casino Royale was great because it was a Bond film about being Bond. This is an Indiana Jones film about being Indiana Jones. There's a proper character arc here. I would say that at times it's a bit too CGI at times. The second act lags. I know I always talk about second acts, but it definitely lags in this film. The actual action sequences aren't that nail-biting at times. But Harrison Ford's brilliant in it. It's a great farewell to the character. Phoebe Waller-Bridge is really good. She always plays like a female Han Solo, which is really interesting, because that's almost part of Harrison Ford's kind of canon. And also, a lot of people say the third act is bonkers and it jumps the shark, or the nuclear fridge, as people now call it, as like a reference to Crystal Skull. But I would say... I prefer that than the boring Crystal Skull ending, which was just paint by numbers. It was so obvious what was going to happen at the end of that film. This one is like, where are we going here? This is crazy. Do you know, like sometimes you listen to a podcast where it tells you about mad ideas people had for movies, but no one actually financed it because it was too crazy and out there. It's like that, but they've actually filmed it and they've done it. And
so I just don't want to make, I want to make sure I want to listen to your review, having just seen it. And make sure we're not repeating. Should we listen to?
Yeah, because I really want to hear
what you Here we go. So this is David. What? When did you record this?
Immediately afterwards.
In your car?
In my car, in my Skoda.
Okay, so hopefully it will pick up. Here we go.
It's going to be painful listening to myself back.
I am fresh from my Indiana Jones Dial of Destiny experience. I'm in Cineworld Chichester car park as we speak. So there's a lot of sound around me. It's boy racers in their souped up Fast and Furious wannabe Fiestas zooming around me whilst eating McFlurries, which, you know, ain't a bad lifestyle to have. I'm not knocking it, but I'm just saying the acoustics might be a bit of Vin Diesel in the background. Indiana Jones, Dial of Destiny. The opening for me was a bit of...
I've just suddenly thought, David, you've got to do reviews in your car, just 5-minute reviews and put them on YouTube. My God. Be all over them like a rash.
And full because I sat down ready to watch a D.H. Harrison Ford and there was problems with the projector. There was a massive blue dot in the centre of the screen. So a bit annoying. I had to get up and get the usher to look at the screen. She couldn't see the black dot. Then we had to go and get the manager to have a look as well. And he agreed with me that there was a black dot.
It's a blue dot, not black.
A sniper was in the balcony getting ready to shoot Harrison Ford between the eyes. They never got rid of the blue dot. But anyway, I finally sat down. So some of the beginning was ruined for me. But the main thing is, it's got to be said, I was quite happily pleased with the film. There was a lot of scathing reviews from Cannes when the film first came out, and I think it was overly critical. The de-aging special effects, when I finally sat down after having the drama with the manager, it wasn't bad, the opening sequence, overuse of CGI, but you've got to meet them halfway because you're dealing with a 78-year-old man. His life insurance is probably more expensive than the entire budget for the film, even though the budget for the film was $300 million. When they cut to him in the 60s of a 70-year-old man, you get a real, quite a detailed character study of a hero in his last days. It always reminded me of the old man in Up type of thing, a kind of slightly curmudgeon kind of man, who's had his best days and can't see much great aspirations for his future. And the action sequences, once again, very CGI-based, and you've got to be realistic, he's quite elderly now, but I would say well-executed. Matt Middleton is great as the villain. No issues there at all. I would say the film is 10 times better than Crystal Skull. And I'd say James Mangold, who obviously took over from Spielberg, they are big, big shoes to fill. I mean, they're not even shoes, are they? They're skyscrapers you're trying to put your feet inside. And I thought he did not a bad job. I thought there was some really skillfully done moments. There's a great horse chase. And also, Harrison Ford feels very vulnerable at times. You know, you really do feel that he's under pressure. He's not just this two-dimensional hero figure they're just carting out. And also, you do feel as though Harrison Ford, you know, as Indiana Jones, is going for a character arc. There's development, the protagonist. I would say, which I do find myself saying a lot, it did start to lag during the second act of the movie, certainly. It's sort of, the sequences weren't as nail-biting as you'd hope. Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I hope I got her surname correct there. I thought she was really good, and in many ways she reminded me of a kind of Han Solo figure. The way she's more interested in money.
Doesn't matter.
And
we're in the moment. This is lovely.
Than any kind of historical archaeological values about looking after the past. The final act of the movie has divided people massively. It does get pretty nuts and crazy. I'm not going to give you any spoilers, but in a way, I appreciate that more in the sense that the plot zigged and zagged in the third act. It kept you interested. It's like, right, okay, this is a bit nuts. Where are they going to go with this? And I preferred that to Crystal Skull, because Crystal Skull just was almost paint by numbers, the finale to that. You really knew what was going to happen. It was Indiana Jones 4 at that point, and it was just following the footsteps of the previous film. This ending takes a lot of risks, which has, you know, left people slightly, bit taken back and not like 100% happy of where it goes. But I preferred the risk-taking because at least it kept you occupied and stimulated. And I think James Mangold personally pulled it off, even though it does go into like a slightly unorthodox direction. I thought it pulled it off. I thought generally it was a well-executed piece of cinema. You know, compared to the other films that I've seen this summer, like The Flash, Transformers, certainly Fast and the Furious, it's a higher pedigree of summer blockbuster. And I think if I was the producers and I'd shown it at the Cannes Film Festival, and they really attacked at the Cannes Festival, they really did get their daggers out, I think I'd have been a bit disappointed. It's like, what do you expect? I mean, these films are very hard to meet the fan base, and it's film number 5. You're dealing with a 78-year-old action hero. I know I keep going on about that, but, you know, it's got its limitations of what you can do, your leading man. I reckon James Mangold, it was very respectable what he pulled off. I think I went in there with quite low expectations, and, you know, there were problems at times. You know, it's, I keep saying it, but it's very CGI. There's a lot of green screen. The set pieces aren't really nail-biting. I enjoyed the character pieces more than anything else. It's more like you go on a very nice character driven Indiana Jones film. In some ways, not entirely, but in some ways it reminded me a bit of Casino Royale in the James Bond film, where it was a Bond film about Bonds, and this was like an Indiana Jones film about Indiana Jones. At times, I was thinking, would a young audience be consistently engaged? Perhaps not, really. A lot of it definitely relies on the charm of Harrison Ford and the nostalgia. They don't go over the top of the nostalgia, but it's enough there to keep you occupied, certainly. I would say not bad at all. I would say 4 out of 5 ice chocks. Simple as. You know, I was pleasantly surprised. Not bad whatsoever. I think, you know, I'd take my fedora off to James Mangold. Very tricky challenge, and I think he pulled it off. Definitely.
God, he goes on to me. Flip it.
No, that was, no, he doesn't. That was superb.
Well, it's kind of so I found out a bit long.
5 ice. You change it to ice chocks when you know it's chock ices.
Oh, is it? I put ice. Chock ices, you're quite right. What
4
is a nice chock?
5.
Oh yeah, I think it's filmmaking of a high pedigree, definitely. I think that the review was a little repetitive,
but it doesn't matter. I think it's allowed to be for this episode. That was the first you just come out of the cinema there.
Fresh from it. I'd definitely say. Do you know? I'd just say. He's doing a Bob Dylan film next, James Mangold. It'd be interesting what he does with that. Timothy, I can never remember his surname, Chalamet. It's nothing like that. It's a guy who stars in Dune and Willy Wonka. I'd be interested to see what he does next. I mean,
John Bone says in the comment box, a higher pedigree of summer blockbuster. There's your strap line. Perfect.
Absolutely. Has anyone seen it in the chat box?
John Bone's seen it and he loved it.
Yeah, I think it's...
Let
I
me read really... out some John Bone comments because I
oh,
know
please,
he's seen it
please.
And I know he liked it. Bear with. I felt a sniffle approaching near the end. It's 100% better than the critics' views. May I counter that it was the lack of relentless nail-biting scenes that built tension and made it so good. It was like the original 3 films, not the crap that was Crystal Turd.
100% agree, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think John put on my Patreon yesterday that he loved it and wanted to know what you thought of it. So he's not saying it off the back of your review.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think there was a lot of moments where they created genuine drama, probably more so. There were some moments where Indiana Jones was in very vulnerable positions, perhaps more so than any of the other four films, even Raiders of the Lost Ark, where he felt like a very believable, real character. And yeah, it just felt like a very well-executed, well-put-together, carefully examined piece of filmmaking. Do you know what I mean? You just felt like you were in real capable hands, basically, all the way through. And definitely, I would say, you know, the opening act, the first act where you see him in the 60s and where he's found himself as kind of like almost slightly alcoholic, drinking whiskey, teaching these kids that aren't interested. You know, it's... you know, it's a really compelling character study, definitely.
David, sorry, go on.
No, no, go for it. But, you know, when people get shot as well, you really feel it. It's like, oh, blimey, he's just taken a bullet in the knee. You know, it's, and I think you've got to be a real master filmmaker to really pull that off. Because, I mean, in these films, people get shot left, right, and centre. But number one, when anyone gets shot, you really do feel it in this film. And number two, you do realise that anyone could die in this movie. It has got that tone and feel to
it. David, that's the final ever Indiana Jones, and you've given it 4 out of 5, and that feels lovely.
Absolutely. I think the Indiana Jones 5 team can go to bed and rest well, basically, and I think the Star Wars team needs to start thinking, how can we pull something like that off?
Ruben says, I really want to watch this film now off the back of David's review. Liam says, so glad David's review was positive. Was in two minds if I should listen before watching it next week.
Absolutely give it a go. I think it's high pedigree summer entertainment. That's a good way of describing it, as James Bowen said.
You said it. He's quoting you.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. We're quoting each other, a family of quoters. Simple as
Mr.
that.
Mr. and Mrs. Quota.
Mr. and Mrs. Quota,
David,
absolutely.
We've got to end the podcast now. It's been a wonderful, wonderful episode. I've enjoyed it thoroughly. I would like to give you a platform, if you're up for it. You don't need to take this opportunity. But I might put some music underneath it. I'd like to give you a little platform to thank Harrison Ford and Spielberg for creating Indiana Jones. It's entirely up to you whether you take it.
Oh, I would 100% take that platform. I would leap on it now like a mountain cat.
Before you do, we'll just say thank you so much, everybody. We'll thank you now. We'll wave goodbye now, and we'll end on David's little monologue.
Cyril, thank you, salute. Absolutely.
Thank you very much, everybody. Cyril, thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening,
thank you,
everybody.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
And we'll return thank you for your time. To the normal pod next week. So here we go, David. Over to you.
I'd like to say, you know, to the holy trinity of action-adventure summer blockbuster cinema experiences, Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, Harrison Ford. Well, quadrilogy, really. You can't not think of Lawrence Kasdan, who wrote Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know, without his wit and script-writing skills, it wouldn't be the movies we're aware of. Thank you for, you know, blessing my childhood and my adulthood. Because we know we never turn our back on our childish ways. That, you know, you've given me many an exciting testosterone masculine fueled dopamine hit in the center of my brain, like a silver bullet, like an assassin firing a silver bullet into my brain, and just filling me with a lot of enjoyment. You know, I think manhood's a bit more complicated as appears in the Indiana Jones films. So in a way, you've sold me many a lie, but those lies were sugar-coated and were very, very, very enjoyable. It goes without saying. You know, so thank you for, you know, saturating my mind with movie action pulp iconography and a lust for leather jackets and constantly tempting myself on boring rainy days, looking at fedoras on Amazon and thinking one day I'm just going to buy one of those and stroll down the bloody high street and own it. Not just own the hat, but own the image. You know, one day I'll do that.
David, one last sentence. Could you just channel your 10-year-old self and with one sentence leave a message for Harrison and Spielberg?
as my 10-year-old self, 10-year-old yeah. self, thank you for being the best and making my summer really fun and making me smile endlessly. And when I wandered out from the dark cinema in the sunlight, knowing who I wanted to be when I become an adult and a man.
Thank you, David. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening and watching today. See you next week. Cheers.
Thank you. Au revoir.